Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. I want to start today by saying that I'm really happy that we got back in the win column on Friday. I mentioned we were on a six-day winning streak heading into a really bad Thursday. Friday, we bounced back in a big way. The weekend was a little bit up and down, but, you know, having a really good season so far, you know, up about 7 units on the year, and, you know, I've been doing a lot better since a, you know, shaky start to the year. So it's been a little bit better than that number even suggests. So hopefully we keep it rolling, but we'll start off by kind of doing some recaps from the weekend. Not much on Saturday, to be honest. It was a little bit of a light day in terms of big results. But the one thing I do think that is worth pointing out is that Dallas did beat Houston at home. The Mavericks now 4-1 in their last 5 games. Wins over the Clippers, Nuggets, Heat, and Rockets. And the only loss that they had was in Oklahoma City. I think that this team is starting to play some much better basketball now that they've inserted Ryan Nembhard into the starting five. They have Anthony Davis back. This is a team that all of a sudden, you know, is looking really good defensively, but is also starting to play a little bit better on the offensive end of the floor as well. I mean, if you look at just net rating over the last 5, I mean, the game against OKC did skew things a little bit, but plus 4.2 net over the last 5, like I said, the defense has been good. The offense has been playing a little bit better. This is now a team that I'm not saying is going to make the play-in tournament. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, as long as this group of players stays somewhat healthy, they could be a really profitable team in terms of backing them against the spread the rest of the season. Obviously, you know, Derek Lively is injured and does look like he's going to be injured for a very long time. So that's a bit of a bummer because that's a really good young center that is, you know, just awesome on both ends of the floor. Like, I just love the way that he plays defensively. He's a very good finisher on the other end of the floor too. But it does seem like they're going to be without him. But with the team that they currently have, if Anthony Davis, if Cooper Flagg can stay healthy, this is a team that I think is going to be a little bit more of a bet-on team than a bet-against team the rest of the season. But Sunday was where most of the action was. Like Saturday, like I said, was a little bit slow. Yesterday, there was a lot. I think that it kind of needs to start with Franz Wagner getting injured against the Knicks. It was a lower left leg injury, one that looked really bad watching it live. I mean, some of the Twitter doctors out there were saying that it could be an MCL injury, could be, you know, soft tissue, but it does look like it's going to be something that's going to take some time for him to come back. We'll probably get an update on it at some point today. Hopefully it's not like an ACL. Hopefully it's not a doomsday scenario, but I do think that Orlando is going to be without him for quite a bit. And this is a team that after a very slow start to the year is now 5th in the league in defensive rating, 11th in offensive rating, and also 11th in adjusted offensive rating. They've just been really, really good and looking like one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference for, you know, two, three weeks now, to be honest. Like, they did lose that game yesterday, but like I said, Franz got hurt. They also lost Jalen Suggs in that one, and Suggs has been great this season when he's been on the floor. I'm just hoping that Wagner's, you know, avoided a very long injury, because Orlando is starting to look like the team that everybody thought that they would be when they acquired Desmond Bane. You just don't want to see them lose their best player. I know that Bancaro is a great scorer, but Wagner is their best player. I mean, look at EPM. He's 91st percentile in the league this year. This is a guy that is very good defensively on the perimeter. He's also the engine of this team offensively in a lot of different ways. So just hoping that he avoided a long-term injury. Not sure that's the case. It did look very bad. So I'll be keeping an eye on that over the rest of the day. And if it is really bad, if it's something that's going to keep him out the rest of the season, that's going to be something that wipes away the Magic as title contenders, or at least contenders in the Eastern Conference, if you don't believe that they are, you know, actual title contenders. Next takeaway for me was that OKC extended their winning streak up to 15. They did not have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander yesterday, still beat Utah by 30 points with 50 combined points from Jalen Williams, J-Dub, and Chet Holmgren. They both, you know, played very, very well in the absence of the star. And then there are 4 other players in double figures, with some of them being guys that you've never even heard of. It's just a team that continues to roll. And you're now talking about a team that it's almost going to be shocking if they don't break the regular season record for wins. I mean, what they've done to start this season with Williams, you know, pretty much not even joining them until last week is just absolutely insane. And as long as they have some luck in the health department, the rest of the way. Like, I do think that 74 wins is almost likely at this point. Like, that was one of the plays that a lot of people on the Visa network were talking about. It was like 74 plus wins at plus 650 or better odds, like something crazy like that. But they're now 23-1. And, you know, the thought of them losing another seven games is almost hard to even imagine. They are the betting favorites to win the NBA Cup. And we're going to get a lot of that stuff this week. Tomorrow, the Tuesday show, I will have Kelly Bidlin on with me to talk a little bit more about the NBA Cup games. There's two of them tomorrow night. We're going to get a really good feel, and we're going to do a nice dive into how this is going to look. But they are minus 120 at DraftKings to win that, that tournament. And, you know, as long as SGA plays, like, you'd have to think that they're going to do it. So it's a really, really just incredible season so far. And this is a team that won a title last year. They had every reason in the world to just kind of come into this year and sleepwalk a little bit, but they have no interest in doing that. They've been dominant on both ends of the floor, and I think it's only going to get better because, like I said, J-Dub missed the early portion of the season. They've had guys in and out of the lineup. You're talking about Caruso, Hartenstein, Dort. Like, those guys have all missed time. They're going to get healthy eventually, and they're going to be even tougher to beat. So just unbelievable what OKC has done so far. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning is LeBron, after snapping that streak of 10-plus points, comes out and plays probably his best game of the year against the Sixers last night. Went for 29-7-6 on 12 of 17 shooting from the floor, 4 of 6 shooting from 3, and just a clutch jumper to end the game, where we got an awesome LeBron celebration right after it. I just thought that, you know, right from the get-go, I actually tweeted it at Betting on X, that he just looked like he had some extra juice in that first quarter. And it looked like he was completely back to looking like LeBron James. Like, I think that we saw, you know, two games in a row where he didn't look great. And obviously, like, he didn't have 10 points against the Raptors the game before, and he almost lost that streak against the Suns the game before that. So it was definitely a time where some overreactions were going out, and, you know, people were saying that LeBron was washed. But we saw last night, like, the explosiveness in transition, some of the great shot creation, some, you know, timely defense when he needed to be good, just looked very much like LeBron James. And even if it's not, you know, LeBron James, like, if in his prime, it's a player that's going to be very, very good for Los Angeles the rest of the season. And, you know, if we're talking about him as a number three option on this Lakers team right now behind Luka and Reeves, you're talking about maybe one of the best number three options in basketball. So I think that was a really encouraging sign for the Lakers, with LeBron just kind of going off in a win, especially because it was a game where Austin Reeves just didn't have it, like, did not look good, was very inefficient as a scorer. Luka played well, but it was a game where they needed LeBron to step up, and he did. So I think just very encouraging for a Lakers team that's now number two in the Western Conference at 17-6. They've been great all season long. J.J. Redick's doing a great job of kind of getting this team locked in on the defensive end. He's doing a really good job with his rotations. Definitely a team that is just, like, needs to be taken very seriously moving forward, especially now that LeBron, you know, is looking like a player to be reckoned with again. One last takeaway, which is definitely more because I have a future on the Grizzlies to win over 39.5 games. They beat the Blazers last night 119-96, improving to 11-13 on the season. This team is now 7-3 in the last 10 games they played without John Morant. Cam Spencer has been very, very good for them at point guard. His brother Pat Spencer has also been very good for the Golden State Warriors. So the Spencer brothers taking the league by storm. But this is a Memphis team that I do think is in a really interesting situation, because I've said it before, but, like, there's a lot of situations around the league where you see teams playing very well without star players. You know, the Magic were one of them. They played really well without Banchero. The Hawks right now are playing well without Trae Young. I think that both of those situations are ones where those teams really want those guys back. I know, you know, there's an argument to be made in Atlanta that, like, maybe they'd do better getting another player that's kind of like a Young, but a little bit better defensively. And maybe that's true, but that is a team that I believe can stall out offensively a little bit and could use a shot creator like Young. This is the one where it's like, I'm not sure that John Morant's making this team better than what they are right now without him. Like, I know that Morant is a very talented player, but what we've seen on him on the court has been very disappointing. And then you add all the stuff, like, with him being a problem off of the court, whether that's, you know, the stuff that he's gotten into off the court, like, completely away from basketball, or the stuff that where he's just, you know, going at the head coach and becoming a problem for the front office. it's just a situation that I'm really looking at closely. Like, I don't even know what a trade market would look like for Moran at this point. Like, I'm not sure that there's going to be teams lining up to deal for him. I think you'd be lucky to have one or two interested. And I really think that there's a chance that nobody would be. But, like, this is a situation where I think that Memphis has been playing some great basketball. They are back in the play-in picture in the Western Conference. And I'm starting to feel a little bit better about them winning 40-plus again. But I just don't know that Morant being added back into the mix is going to help me all that much. And it will happen very, very soon because he was upgraded to doubtful before last game, which was an improvement upon his status in the weeks prior. So, yeah, we're going to see Morant back with the Grizzlies soon. I'm not sure it's going to make them better, but I am hoping that Memphis finds a way to make it work because I just think that this team has a lot of pieces that are really interesting. Zach Edey has been a monster ever since he came back. Like I mentioned, Spencer has been good. Vince Williams Jr. has played well for them at the guard position. And then Cedric Cowart has been one of the best rookies in the league this year. So it's a team with a lot of positive things going for them. And I think that they did really well in the Desmond Bane trade. That was one of the reasons why I like this team to go over their win total. And you're going to get Ty Jerome back soon. You're going to get Scottie Pippen Jr. back soon. Just a lot of things to be excited about, which I know that a lot of people wouldn't believe heading into the year about Memphis. But yeah, it's just strange to think that maybe Morant coming back is not one of the things that they should be excited about. But that's all for the weekend. I think that we should get into these games for tonight. There's only three games for tonight. Very light slate, so we'll keep this quick. But I do have plays on all three of them. So if you're hungry for action, you came to the right place. We'll start with the Kings taking on the Pacers in Indiana. This is a game where Indiana is laying 3.5 points. Total's 234.5. I've already played Indiana at -3.5 at -110. This is just a game where there's no Sabonis for the Kings. Keegan Murray is also questionable for Sacramento. But the real thing for me is Sabonis, because I think that all season long, Indiana has struggled with the loss of Miles Turner and just a weak center position. It's been a little bit better over the last 2 weeks because Jay Huff has come in and given them some productive minutes on both ends of the floor. But this is a team that is very weak at the center spot still, even with Huff playing better. And if this, you know, Kings had Sabonis, this would have been a game that he would have maybe dominated his former team. But I think this is a game now where you're really looking at where the advantage is from 1 through 4. And I think that the Pacers have a really good case that they have the better, you know, guards and wings. And then you also talk about the system where Rick Carlisle is just a much better coach than Doug Christie. Also, just Indiana's been thriving over the last, you know, couple of weeks, you know, 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games. They've been a lot more competitive, a lot more trustworthy. They're coming off, you know, a big convincing win in Chicago the other night. But our game was, you know, 2 nights ago. This is a team that's also very well rested coming into this one. And that's another thing that I think you need to point out when talking about this game is the fact that the Pacers are 62-38-1 against the spread under Rick Carlisle when playing only 2 games in 5 days. I think they're going to have fresh legs. I think they're going to get out and run. And I think that I trust their backcourt and then Pascal Siakam, like, just to be a little bit sharper than a Sacramento team that I think is just absolutely miserable. I know that the Kings are coming off a pretty big win in Miami, but not a team I trust on a night-by-night basis. And actually the type of team that I think you could expect to let down roll over after a big win. I think you're going to see Indiana win this game somewhat comfortably. So laying 3.5 was a bit of a no-brainer for me. If you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro. That's daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, and every betting guide from the college football playoff through next year's NFL. This is your last shot at the Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now at vsin.com/circa and use promo code CIRCA. That's vsin.com/circa. Man, that sounds like an awesome deal, especially when you're talking about getting a day bet at Stadium Swim. One of the coolest things about, you know, working at VSiN is I get to brag to all my friends who absolutely love sports betting, that, you know, the office that I work at is based out of Circa, right outside is Stadium Swim, which is probably one of the greatest places on the planet to watch sports. So definitely jump on that offer while you still can. Next game we should talk about is Suns at Timberwolves. This is a game that tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Timberwolves are laying 9.5 points. Total's 224.5. This is one that's going to be really tough to call when looking at sides or totals because there are a lot of injuries, especially on the Sun side here. Devin Booker still out for Phoenix. Jalen Green also out for Phoenix. And then I think that the big one for me and the one that made this a game where I think that you have to kind of, you know, stay away from in terms of sides is that Dylan Brooks is questionable for the Suns with Achilles soreness. That's an injury that I would be really surprised if he plays through just because you're seeing now all these guys in every sport in the NFL too. We saw it with Daniel Jones yesterday, but you know, Brooks, if he's dealing with something and has to overcompensate in any way, you might be looking at a long-term injury that you can avoid. So I think that the Suns are going to play it safe with him. And if Brooks is out for this game, it's going to be a little bit harder to back Phoenix, which would have been my lean even without Booker, just because the Suns are coming off, you know, a pretty lackluster performance where they really didn't show up and compete. And that's just not like this Phoenix team. The DNA of this team is way different than ones we've seen in years past. Like, this is a group that goes out and fights every single night. I think that you're going to see a much better effort from the Suns tonight, but you really want to have Brooks out there if you're taking the points. So I would stay away from it. But I do have a play in this game. I like Colin Gillespie over 16.5 points at minus 110 odds. This is something that you know that I've been taking over the last week or so. I mean, this is a player that has really been thriving for Phoenix. He scored 19 plus points in 5 of the last 9 games. Also scored 20 points against Minnesota on November 21st, but I think this is another opportunity for him to score 17 plus. I know Grayson Allen is back for the Suns. There's a little bit more firepower in this Phoenix lineup and somebody to take a little bit of pressure off Gillespie, but this Timberwolves team is last in the league at defending pick and roll ball handlers this season. Also bottom 5 in the league at defending dribble handoffs. That's a lot of how Gillespie gets his offense. He has been a very good pick and roll ball handler all season long. They also run a few handoffs for him and all the other shooters on this team. So I think that Gillespie has a really nice pathway to scoring a decent amount in this game. And I'll also add that on ball guards have been playing very well against the Timberwolves lately. I mean, James Harden just had 34 against them across 2 meetings with this team. Jose Alvarado averaged 13 points per game. Jeremiah Fears averaged 20.5. We also saw Fox go for 25. Dylan Harper go for 17. Like, these are all recent games where on-ball players and, you know, players that have the ball in their hands a lot had success against the Timberwolves. I think we're going to see that again here. Last game of the night, Spurs at Pelicans. The Spurs are laying 9.5. Total's 236.5. This game tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is the one where it's another where I'm just kind of avoiding sides and totals and looking only at player props. And there were 2 that I was interested in this game. One of them is a play. That's Devin Vassell over 16.5 points at plus 100. I'm a little bit curious to see what his minutes look like here because I do think that we're going to see Stephon Castle back tonight. He is questionable for the Spurs in this game, and that would be the first time this year that we would see De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle, and Dylan Harper all out there together. And I just kind of wonder what that does to the rotation. Like, would there still be 30 plus minutes a game for Vassell? I think that there would be. But either way, even if he only plays 27 plus, I think this is a matchup where he really should score at least 17 points. He scored 17 plus in 5 of the last 7. He's taking 53% of his shots on catch and shoot jumpers. This Pelicans team is 29th in the league at guarding catch and shoot attempts. So a very strong matchup for Vassell. New Orleans also bottom 5 in the league defending both corner threes and also above the break threes. And Vassell is shooting 40.1% from 3 this season on 7.1 attempts per deep. I just think that he's going to be taking a lot of triples in this game. And I do think that you can count on him to knock some down. He's also a player that can get a little bit going in the in-between game. He's got a nice mid-range jumper that he can create for himself. He can get to the basket. So I think Vassell scores 17 plus here. The other one that I am interested in, I'm not sure that we're going to see it on my actual best bets card for tonight, just because I'm waiting on Herb Jones's injury status. Herb Jones is a game time decision tonight. If he plays, it will take away some minutes from this player. But Sadiq Bey over 16.5 points is another one that I'm looking at. If Jones does not play, you're going to see me add Bey to score 17 plus if that's still available, because Bey has scored 18 plus points in 5 consecutive games, has been really looking nice as a scorer for them, both from the outside, around the basket, like, has just been looking great. This is a player that they kind of invested in a long time ago because, like, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries and he's finally back. But I do think that Bey is now starting to give them some good minutes. It's a Pelicans team that sadly I've watched a lot of start the season just because I've been all about Derek Queen. But I think that Bey has been a player that's been popping. And I think that if he does get his share of minutes in this game, he's going to play pretty well as a scorer. So I'm looking at have Devin Vassell over 16.5, but still keeping an eye on Bay and looking at that injury report. Before we recap the best bets for tonight, if you think you know hoops, now's the time to prove it with Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball predictions into cash. Download the Better app and make your picks, more or less on your favorite players' points, rebounds, and assists. However you see the game playing out, track your lineup live, watch the numbers move, and sweat every position right there in the app. And right now, Better is making it easy to get started. Use code VSINPOD and get $10 free, no deposit required. Just sign up, make your picks, and you're right in the action. Better Picks is live in 33 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So download Better, that's BETR, and use code VSINPOD to score your free $10. Better Picks, basketball just got better. Must be 18 plus in ineligible states. Terms and conditions apply. I would definitely be jumping on that Better offer if I were you, especially if you're listening to this show and you're seeing how often I'm giving out player props. Like, that seems like a great opportunity to just get some free money in your account and just see what can happen there. So definitely go over and check out Better. But let's recap the best bets for tonight. Three games, three picks. I have the Pacers -3.5 at -110 against the Kings. Colin Gillespie over 16.5 points at -110 against the Timberwolves. And then Devin Vassell over 16.5 points at +100 against the Pelicans. Those are the three that I have officially right now. I've already put those in, but there is one, the Sadiq Bey play, that I am considering adding. So if you are interested in that, maybe closer to tip off, head over to VSiN.com if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you know, check out the Pro Picks page. I will add it there. Or head over and look at my article. If I do end up adding it, I will throw it in at the bottom. I always add my picks that I add to the Pro Picks page to my articles at the bottom in an additional plays section. So that's all for tonight. Tomorrow's a very, very big night. We have the NBA Cup. I know that a lot of people have, you know, struggled to get into this thing, but I absolutely love watching it. I think that it adds a little bit of stakes at a really weird part of the season and a, you know, a slow part of the sports calendar. So I'm a big fan of the Emirates NBA Cup. I think it's going to be fun. And we're going to have Kelly Bidlin on to talk about it with me. We're also going to get into some futures because only two games tomorrow night. We're going to need a little bit more to talk about. So it's going to be a packed Tuesday show. But good luck with your bets tonight. Make sure you come back and join us for some more Hardwood Handicappers.